Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, that we could come into Thy presence, Heavenly Father, and praise Thee and glorify Thee and magnify Thee as New Jerusalem Church. As we come into Thy presence, Father, this Sunday morning, with Brother Max, Brother Jose, we pray that Your presence will abide with us and with the families of Brother Jose and Brother Max. We pray Your presence will come down as You came down in the Old Testament, as You came down in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost, as You came down in the Isle of Patmos. And Father, we pray that You would speak to us. As Your word says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We know You abide in us. We know You testify through us that we are truly the children of God. And we know that You're converting us into the image of God, even as an egg that remains in the heat of its mom, the hen, one day hatches in almost the exact same image of its parent. Heavenly Father, help us to grow and remain in Thy heat of the Holy Spirit, that we may be transformed into Thine image. And when the trumpet sounds, we'll be transformed and we will be like Thee and will see Thee and will be with Thee forever as Thy heavenly bride for the heavenly bridegroom. For in Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, amen. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen. Let us turn to the book of Genesis chapter 5. And let us read verse 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. This chapter is about Methuselah, who was one of the people that lived the longest, and Enoch, one of the people that stayed the shortest on planet Earth. And we read in Genesis 5, 24 and 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And one of the children that Enoch begat is Methuselah. And he had sons and daughters. He was a normal person. He had a wife. He had children. He had daily duties. You know, I don't know if they had grocery stores, but he had to go provide for them, get food for them, encourage them, lead them. And he led his family for 365 years. What happened after 365 years? Well, for 365 years, that's interesting, 365. That's the number of days in 1 year. But Enoch walked with God for 365 years. And one day, as he walked with God, he didn't come back. God said, Enoch, we are not going back. You're coming with us. So Genesis 5:24 says, and Enoch walked with God. I'm sure there were more people on planet Earth than Enoch, maybe a million people, not 8 billion like we have today, but at least a million, maybe a few millions on this earth. Enoch walked with God. Where were the rest of the people? If there were 1 million population, where were the 999,999 people? Was Enoch walking alone with God? Yes, because one day he didn't come home and he and God walked into glory. God took him. And we read again about Enoch in the book of Hebrews 11. Enoch pleased God through his faith. But there is also Genesis 5:24 also has a sad story in it. Enoch was the only one in his entire generation. All over the world, there was only one person, Enoch, that walked with God. And God took him home. He said, you're not going to die. And God call them home. And then we read more and more, and then we come to Noah. Nobody had ever seen a boat. And God told him to build a boat. And he preached for 120 years. Well, they laughed and mocked and made fun of him about this piece of wood that he thought is going to float. Of course, they had subdivision regulations. They had all kinds of things. I'm sure they told him that according to the Sunnywood subdivision regulations, he cannot build stuff like this. It has to be a house made of cedar wood and used to have windows. And he said, well, you know, God told me to do it. Well, it doesn't meet the HOA regulations. He said, I don't know what HOA is, but I do know that God told me to build it. And they tried to stop him. But then they said, well, you know, let's not stop him because really don't know what happened. In modern day, if Noah was building a boat, what everybody would do is, hey, let's not stop him. Let's sell tickets to watch the show and charge everyone $10 so that we can watch a man building a boat in the middle of the subdivision and cameras. And they'll have it on America's Funniest Videos and laugh about it and mock it. And kind of have a good time laughing at an old man that was obeying God. Noah saw all the mockery, and as tears ran down his face, he told the people, please, this is God. The world is wicked. Please repent. They laughed at him because they didn't understand the word repent. What do you mean by repent, old man? We don't know what they said, but the Bible tells us in the New Testament, they mocked him for 120 years. Now, they weren't mocking Noah, they were mocking God, because God gave the word to Noah. Noah and his family were all alone. He told his family not to respond. 120 years, you hear this carpenter nailing, carrying the wood. All his family heard was the knock, the cutting of the trees, the sawing, the nailing, building the boat. While the people mocked and partied, Noah was listening to God and building the boat. And that is exactly what is happening today in the 21st century. Noah and his family were saved. But the Bible tells us nobody else was saved. It was just Noah and his family. Noah was all alone. And then we go further on. And then we see millions of people that came from the land of Israel. And only two people entered the promised land. Caleb and Joshua. They stood alone. In fact, the Bible tells us about the Jews when Balak said, hey, Balaam, you're a great prophet. If you curse someone, they'll be cursed. I don't like these people, Israel, because they'll kind of wipe out my kingdom. I lose my throne. These are very powerful people. Go ahead and curse them. And he took Balaam to the top of the mountain, and Balaam looked at them and started prophesying, saying, Israel has, as it were, the strength of the unicorn. God is with them, and he shouts like a lion's whelp. And then he said one very strikingly important word. The people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Today we see Israel, the whole world, unfortunately, including the U.S., yells and screams after them saying they cannot have their land. Psalm 2, what does God do? He laughs at them. Go ahead and try. And it's going to happen. A battle is going to happen. Gog and Magog. Persia, which is Iran, Togarma, and all these countries are going to come against Israel. A mighty army is going to be wiped out in a fraction of a second. The Bible says, as they are on horses and they are advancing towards Israel, their flesh is going to consume. God is saying, oh, I was waiting for you. Chief of the prince of Meshech and Tubal. Meshech, Moscow. And Tubal. I believe that's Turkey and Togarma, probably East Germany. And so, for some of the countries that will be coming against Israel. But God will wipe them out. Russia will be gone. A lot of these countries will be gone when they are wiped out. We don't know. Right now is a situation where USA is not in support of Israel. Always wondered why that would happen, when that would happen. But Israel has already been prophesied that they would dwell alone and they will not be reckoned among the nations. I believe it was in 1967 that there was a war. The entire world went after Israel. In one town where Israel was fighting, the invincible army of Nasser, who said, I will wipe Israel off the map in 24 hours, they even saw Moses praying. And Moses was praying with his hands raised up until the Jews won. The Egyptians, who had a mighty army at that time, mighty air force, were in their tanks trembling because the fear of God had overtaken them. And so today, the Arabs, who were about 1,000, and their enemies were about 1,000 times the size of Israel, they fear and tremble when anyone uses the word Israel. My brother lived in Saudi Arabia for about 20 years. And he said the moment you said the word Israel, the Arabs would tremble at that word. God said, I would make Jerusalem a trembling. Why? 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 It is because Israel dwelt alone. One of them is Joseph. He was all alone. The whole world hated him, put him in jail. But the time came, God was with him, and God raised him up. No wonder Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He will dwell alone, the righteous will dwell alone. I heard about a preacher that was saying, you should go here, you should go there, you should try to conform to the sinners and try to preach the gospel. That's not the adulterated gospel we preach. We dwell alone. We are in the presence of God. I remember many, many years back when God called me to the ministry. Nobody in the church even knew that I had the calling. One day I was traveling back from work and Jesus started speaking to me and said, the apostles are going to call you and let you know that they are totally shocked. Jesus came to visit them and said, the guy with glasses, Daniel, I've called him to the ministry. There was 2 days before the minister's conference. God changed all the names and he's going to do that. And I said, Lord, I don't know anything about ministry. What is ministry? And he said, this is ministry. You kneel down before me and look at my face and do not get distracted with anything else. And my glory will shine on your face. And you keep looking. You keep looking at me. Don't get distracted. You listen to me and do exactly what I tell you. It's not very complicated, my son. Your face should be on my face, like the cherubims and the seraphims that run to and fro like lightning and their eyes are upon the Most High. That's what ministry is. That's how Jesus did ministry. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. They yelled, screamed. He was alone. At one point, everybody left him but his disciples. And Peter said, why would we leave you? Thou hast the words of eternal life. However, a time did come when everyone left Jesus Christ except Apostle John and his mom and a few other sisters. Apostle Paul, he and Paul Silas were all alone at Philippi. They chained him. And what about Apostle John? He preached the word. They wanted to kill him. They put him in burning oil. It didn't work. So they said, well, he needs to be banished because we can't do anything. They sent him to the Isle of Patmos. He was all alone and wrote the book of Revelation. Why is God speaking this message to us today? Because those who call themselves Christians and those who call themselves the Guardian Nation USA and those who call themselves the United Kingdom and many countries that call themselves Christian countries and billions of people have departed from the faith. They've fallen in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Money has become their God. We're not going to get into that, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, the world will not understand you. The world will not know you because I have called you out of this world. And then when he prays in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, I do not want them to be alone. I have given them my glory that you and I and they may be one, even as we are one. You know, we read somewhere in the Word of God that says, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost didn't need company. They could have had fellowship with each other for all eternity. But they loved us in eternity and they wanted children. And so they raised up Adam and Eve. And now we're the children of God. We are one with God. We call him Father, our elder brother Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is preparing us. But we are alone in this world with God. Alone at our work. We preach the word to others and a lot of people accept it. But some say, well, we don't agree with you. We believe in tolerance. Tolerate the devil. Tolerate all the things that are contrary to the word of God. And that's why one person said, if God does not judge the wickedness, then he will raise Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for burning them up. God is a just God. Anyone who thinks, whether it's Democrats or Republicans or Chinese or Communists, that think that they will get away with it, no way. They will be judged on planet Earth. They will be judged in front of God's white throne as they stand before the church. They will be judged for all eternity. But Jesus came to save, not to judge, to shed his blood as a ransom for many. And he stood alone, was nailed to the cross, and alone he won the victory. And then we read in the Chronicles and in the Kings, God telling the king, I want just people whose heart is right so I can manifest my power on this earth. Sometimes it comes into people's head that, oops, you know what? For God to work, there needs to be a multitude of people. No. there was only one person, Elijah. But God had 7,000 people in Israel who had not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, and they didn't know each other. They all thought they were alone. Even so, while we may think we are alone walking with God, and we don't know the other people that God has chosen, God has reserved to himself sheep all over the world. And he said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Them also must I bring. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So if that is true, why is God speaking this verse saying, Enoch walked with God. You will have to serve me alone until I bring the sheep. It is because we have come to a time where we cannot expect other people in Austin to stand with us, other people in South Carolina or North Carolina or the Houston area to stand with us. We have to stand alone. And when we stand alone, the armies of this world, the authorities of this world, and the people of this world will come against us. They will be mad. How did you say a thing like that? You let us down. You threw us under the bus. You did that. Well, you have to say, there's only two answers to a question. One answer is an outright lie. The other answer is the absolute truth. I chose to tell the truth. If the truth hurts you, well, you're on the wrong team. You'll have to join the right team, because Jesus Christ and one person is majority. In our work, everywhere, we have to stand for the truth. Recently, I was challenged on live TV with choosing the difference between the truth and a lie. There were five questions, and all of my five questions conflicted the statement made by very important people. Of course, they were mad. I told them there's only two answers to a question. The outright lie and the absolute truth. And I chose to tell the truth. Well, but that sounded like, hey, we were all divided. Of course we are. It's good to have divisions so that those who stand for the truth will be known very clearly. We see solitude in the universe. The earth doesn't have two suns. It has one sun that comes up, rises up around 6 o'clock and sets around 5, 6 o'clock. There's only one sun. Poor sun, that sun is so lonely. Well, that may be. But that sun is not going to be worried about the barking dogs. Those barking dogs are crying, oh, the whole universe was formed by a big explosion and this and that. All there is no God, the sun doesn't care. You can bark and shout and speak nonsense as all as you want, all alone. My duty is to shine the light. And therefore, Jesus, when he left, he said, you are the light of the world. And keep shining the light. It doesn't matter what the Democrats do, what the Republicans do, what the Confucianists do, or the Communists do. We are here to shine the light. And while we are shining the light, if they attack us, to crash the light so that the whole world will be in darkness, that we will not tolerate. Because all power and authority is given to Jesus Christ on heaven and earth, and he is the head of the church, and we will rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't fear anyone. We don't fear the government or the armies of this world or the weapons or anyone that will try to intimidate us to compromise. We will not compromise before that golden statue that a heathen king has set up. We will not compromise because of a lion's den. We will not compromise because of the sword. We will not compromise because the consequences are a hot furnace. God can deliver us from the serpent. God can deliver us from the lions, from the furnace, from anything. We will not bow to a human being that tells us to compromise. Regardless of whether it is the government, the king of this land, or the president, or boss, or anyone, because our employer is Jesus Christ. Our God is Jesus Christ. Our eternal husband is Jesus Christ. Our judge is Jesus Christ. Our savior is Jesus Christ. Our healer is Jesus Christ. Our provider is Jesus Christ. Our one and everything and our focus and our career is Jesus Christ. And he will give us the victory. At the right time, the trumpet will sound and we will be transformed into his image. We will be taken up as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem. And we will be coming back to reign on this earth. We will be seated together with God on thrones with Jesus Christ, even as he overcame and sat with his Father on his throne. The kingdom and authority and the government and all judgment is given unto the saints. I remember once when one of my relatives came to my house and they said, I don't like all this stuff that you're talking about, holiness and getting prepared for Christ's coming. I won't change. I will be just like this. I will be anchored to the rock and geared to the time, and I'll live this way. And I'll be taken up when the trumpet sounds. I said, well, one day when I'm seated with Jesus on his throne, with the Church of the Living God, and you stand before us, you will give account for what you just said. And she became hysterical and screamed and ran to her car. I don't know why. All I said was, what's in the Word of God? So the focus is not what we are saying right now. The focus is Jesus and what he is telling us. Because the words are coming from Christ. And we are just his radio, his transistor, his instrument. But the message to the Church of the Living God and the children of God, chosen the sheep all over the world, do not wait for someone to come and stand with you before you speak the truth. That may or may not happen. Be prepared to stand alone with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the Word of God, and stand against Lucifer and all his hosts. Lucifer may be mighty, God is almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's the one we serve. We can stand with God and overcome this world and the universe and the powers of darkness. That which is born of God overcometh this world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Those who accepted him, them he gave authority to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. No one has authority over our life. No one has authority over our body or soul or spirit. Jesus Christ is the only one, and we are seated together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, and the entire universe is under our feet. Therefore, without fear, regardless of what law or what people or anything that happens, let's go forth and stand alone with Jesus and overcome and complete the work for which he has called us in this 21st century, to build his church, New Jerusalem, and to gather his people and to prepare them for his soon coming, for his glory. Forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless these words. and strengthen us. Hallelujah.